You know, I know that Stu's already said it, but I do want to just thank you before I kick off. I want to thank you for your generosity this Christmas. I want to thank you that we were able as a church to distribute amongst ourselves £6,500 worth of pastoral offering. So thank you for that, for your generosity. I want to thank you that when a vision is birthed here, a dream is birthed, that we take the gamble of going 250, let's go for the max. Maybe gamble's the wrong word in church, but we take the faith step. We take the faith step of 250 boxes for children in Romania. Everyone with a name on, we managed to fill each one with £15 worth of goods, which is making such a difference to children out there. So thank you for that. Thank you. You won't know this one probably, that we're able to give two bags of clothes, some food and some hampers to local refugees in Chelmsford this Christmas. Running out of breath already. So it has been amazing. Your generosity has been fantastic. Thank you for that. Thank you for everybody involved in Cafe Church last week. We had a blast. It was an amazing time. It really was. There's months of preparation that go in. So thank you to everyone who was involved. You know, today's message, it began with a prayer time a couple of weeks ago. When the team arrived, when the worship team arrived here at 8:30 on a Sunday morning to rehearse, we start in prayer. And the heating system was blaring out. And you know that sort of, that noise, it might pop on halfway through my talk, and it can be quite distracting. Andrea was over there, and I was here, and I'm pretty convinced that I heard her say this, that we worship the man in red, God with us. And I thought, huh? And I opened my eyes in case she was joking, and she carried on praying. I was like, well, that's a strange thing to say. We worship the man in red, God with us. I can't do this. Ah, Mamma Mia. Stu? The man in red, God with us. And I was like, I was just running it over in my mind. What could she have said? She obviously said, Emmanuel. Thank you. She said, Emmanuel, God with us. That would make a lot more sense at Christmas. But I heard that we worship the man in red, God with us. So I just stopped praying for a while just to try and get my heart right, make sure I was in the right place. But it was Emmanuel. She definitely said Emmanuel. But it's interesting, actually, because it got me thinking after that. Because most of the country are more focused on the man in red than Emmanuel. And we can have this little picture up, this first one, which is, you know, I just think, is there a bit of a battle going on between these two? Is there an arm wrestle going on at Christmas? Who is going to take pole position? Well, the good thing is that Jesus wins that one, no problem at all. But what I want to do, as the kids are in today, I want to embrace and think about what Father Christmas reminds us of this Christmas. Heresy! Don't worry. And I want to start off by talking about this. That means the next one. There it is. Good. But I'm going to start by talking about St. Nicholas of Myra. So for the you children out there who don't know when Father Christmas began his antics, he began about 400 years, 300 or 400 years after Jesus, in modern-day Turkey, in a place called Myra, which was named after the gift of myrrh. This guy, he was renowned for his acts of service, his acts of kindness and giving gifts to the poor. He was also amazing in getting involved in battles of injustice and helping persecuted Christians. But there's one particular story that's told of when he wanted to give a gift to three very poor children and their mum. And what he did is he put a piece of gold into a sock and he threw the first one through the window. He didn't want to be known for what he was doing. So he threw this sock with a gold coin in through the window. And apparently that woke up the mum. The second coin went through the window and mum came out of the door and she saw him throwing the third one. And she asked him what he was doing. And he was saying that he was trying to give gifts to the children in these socks, what we would now call stockings. And he said to her, please, keep it a secret. I don't want anyone knowing that I did this. Well, isn't that the worst kept secret in the history of mankind? So it wasn't kept. She must have told everybody. And Father Christmas's life began just there as he gave gifts of gold in socks to these three girls. And move on centuries. In Holland, the Dutch still celebrate Sinterklaas, which sounds a bit like St. Nicholas, Sinterklaas, but it also sounds a bit like Santa Claus. So we're finding a middle ground here. So you can put up the next one. This is what Sinterklaas looks like. Oh, he's a bit more familiar to us, perchance. So he's a bishop. He's sort of a middle ground between what we know of St. Nicholas there and Santa Claus who's coming. And they celebrate him every year on the 6th of December. They celebrate his goodness, his kindness and his generosity. And then, finally, on the journey of transition, you can see what this guy's looked like. Whee! There's the Santa Claus that we know. Who has been giving gifts out to children for the last 1,600 years. And we're looking forward to this Christmas Eve when he's going to be giving out some more. Now, don't worry, I am fully aware that the gift that this guy on the right gives, and even St. Nicholas, the gifts that they give were fully trumped a few hundred years earlier by the gift that God gave in Jesus. The best ever gift, that gift in a manger. And it's great that, James, with your communion today, you're talking about gifts, because so was I, so am I going to, and God is tying it all together beautifully. So, although we're looking at this guy, we're looking at the main guy too. We're looking at Jesus above everything else today, but we're going to learn some more about Jesus in a minute. I'm going to skip the next slide, please, so if you can just go forward two for me, that'll be fab. Oh, there it is, thank you. You know, I've reached an age when it comes to Christmas presents. I never thought it would happen. When I was younger and I looked at people wanting or receiving a pair of socks, I thought that is the saddest thing in the world. Who would want socks? Who would want a pair of comfy slippers? Me, I do. I've asked somebody, Father Christmas, and Nikki, and Aria, and lots of other people, for a pair of slippers, just one. I don't want, you know, loads. I don't need loads. But I do actually think that I have made it to slipper age. It's a good thing. I like having socks for Christmas. Socks are a nice thing to have. And thinking about Christmas loads more this year, I was looking at some carols and for our Christmas services, for both of the services, and I'm reading through the lyrics. You know, a lot of the lyrics are a bit strange for carols. They don't seem to make a lot of sense. They're not very accurate to the story. And one of those, whose tune I love, is In the Bleak Midwinter. What a beautiful song. Final verse goes like this. What can I give him? You don't have to sing this week, okay? It's a week off. Poor as I am, if I were a shepherd, I'm going a bit faster, I would bring a lamb, if I were a wise man. This is the line, to just get a rhyme at the end, isn't it? If I was a wise man, I would do my part. Huh? Yet what I can I give him, give my heart. There's the rhyme, good, thanks for that. So wise men do their part just so that we can give our heart. And it got me thinking about this next slide. What can we give this Christmas? There it is. What can we give this Christmas? Because we have been given the best gift of Jesus. The best gift ever. Let's have a look at the Magi, the wise men. I do find it easy with this on, you know, so I'm just going to try again. Yes, you beauty. We look at these wise men, sometimes called kings, these magi, and we know that they were intrepid travelers and they came from a distant land. They didn't come at the time of Jesus' birth, but they came soon afterwards. They came and they bowed low and they worshipped Jesus, offering gifts of gold, of frankincense and myrrh. And everyone already knew that, and you're thinking, yes, I know this story well. And a great deal has been said about these three gifts. Gold, a gift fit for a king. The magi were recognizing Jesus was the king. Frankincense. Incense was first recorded in Egypt 3,000 years before Jesus. And it's been burned throughout history in the temples of gods and goddesses. And it was almost continually burned in the temples at the time of Jesus. And so this gift really represented deity. The gift, the wise men were coming. Freudian slip, I always say the wise men or the kings. The magi were coming. And they were offering gold to say, he is a king. They were offering incense to say, we recognize that he is a god. And they gave myrrh, which was another fragrant resin-based gift used in perfume, but also in anointing dead bodies. And perhaps it was a prophetic nod to Jesus that this god king came to die. Now, those things are conjecture. We don't actually know if that's why they gave the three gifts. It makes sense. But either way, if you research a bit of that time, they were the three most expensive, most valuable gifts that could be brought at the time. They were costly, they were valuable, and they were precious. A few months back, we had Vision Sunday, and Nikki and I spoke about the vision that we believe God has for us in this coming year. And we gave you three words. Some of you will be thinking, I know it, but I can't pull it out. Closer, deeper, further. Do you remember those words? And we started looking at closer in November, and we're going to pick it up again in January. It's time for us to get closer, both to him, and we call that in this church vertical. We call that, we speak quite a lot about it, the vertical exchange that takes place, the transaction of relationship between us and our wonderful God, our wonderful Father, and his interaction with us. It's time for us to get closer vertically. And also, it's time for us to get closer horizontally. It's time for me to get closer to you, for you to get closer to me and to each other. We need to love each other better and get closer and build family more and more. It's right at the center of who we are as a church. Those of you who haven't been around for long may not have noticed that picture up there that we call the ripple effect. The two greatest commandments that Jesus said was to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And there it is. It ripples out. We love God right at the center. We love ourselves, each other, our community, our city, our nation. It's just a representation of this, of getting closer vertically, getting closer horizontally. So this Christmas Eve, as we look at the question of what can we give or what can we bring, does that remind anyone of a song? Do you remember that song? Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring? That was a great song. I'm going to look at it both from a vertical. Do you think I'm becoming Bev? I've got a song for everything at the moment. I'm going to find a couple more later. We're going to look at it from a vertical and a horizontal viewpoint today, okay? And we're also going to need to remember this, that it cost the Magi. It cost the Magi in time. It cost them in valuable gifts. And giving gifts to Jesus and to each other this year may cost us. Okay? It's a challenge for us. What can we bring? I really loved writing this paragraph. Christmas is all about the most incredible, awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping transaction. Jesus, you're right, Aria. You nailed it. Transaction that's ever taken place. That the King of the universe would give up his throne, his splendor, his power, his worship, his majesty, and come to earth as a helpless baby, born in the middle of mess in a difficult time of oppression. A boy who would grow into a man who would spend his life loving, serving, ministering, healing, teaching, discipling, giving everything he had until one day he would give his life. All so that you and me, so that we could have life and be restored to live the life we were designed for. That we might be free, full of hope, peace, light, love, joy, secure in the highs and lows of life, anchored, adopted into his family. What a story. It's an amazing story, isn't it, this Christmas? That transaction is the best Christmas gift ever. That's what he brought to us. That's what he continues to bring to us. So what about us? What can we give? What can we bring? I want to start with looking at the vertical things. And we're going to see what we can learn from the Magi and the shepherds. In Luke 2, it says this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. In Matthew 2, it says this of the Magi, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The stories of the shepherds and the magi. And the first thing I think that we can learn, and what gift we can give to our amazing Jesus this year, is from the shepherds. That they glorified and they praised God for all he had done. That is a brilliant thing for us to be able to remember to do this year. We're quite forgetful. We're a forgetful people. All of us, really. Sometimes we have to pause and remember. We paused and took time in communion this morning. Maybe we need to remember to praise and glorify God for all that he has done this Christmas time. Then what else did those shepherds do? They ran and they told others of what they'd seen. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Perhaps this is the year for us to be brave enough to tell some people about what Jesus has done for us this year. Perhaps we can learn that from the shepherds, that we don't need to stay silent. We don't need to shut our curtains and to have a really great Christmas celebrating Jesus, but no one knows about it. Maybe this year we need to let people know and tell others about what Jesus has done for us and what the story is. Perhaps we can learn from the Magi. On coming to the house, when they saw the child with his mother Mary, they bowed down and worshipped him. Perhaps that's the gift we can give to Jesus this year, that we bow down and we worship him and we remember him. When we wake up on Christmas morning, there'll be presents, there'll be excitement, there'll be too much food. There'll be bowls of chocolate annoyingly placed on every surface in my dad's house. And I don't want to eat any of them, but I take at least one from every bowl. So annoying. But maybe this year I need to make sure that the first thing I do, and the thing I do in the middle of the day, and the thing I do at 4 o'clock and at the end of the day, is to bow down and worship Jesus. To give that gift to him this year. That's what we need to remember to do. Maybe this year we can learn from the wise men in our gifts, because we can lay things of value at Jesus' feet, acknowledging that he is King, he is God, and that his sacrifice has brought us life. Do you have things of value? You give a lot to Jesus, but you won't give him this bit because it's just too much to give him that bit. It's too valuable to you. You want to hold that bit. Maybe this is a year for it to be costly and for us to lay down a gift before the King of Kings. That's learning from the Magi and the shepherds. What can we learn from Mary and Joseph? We haven't even mentioned Mary and Joseph yet. It's an amazing story. But I think from them, we can learn about trust. And the gift that we can give to Jesus this year is our trust. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. Let's just try to take a step back from the familiarity of the stories that we know, okay? Because it's really easy, God sent an angel to go and speak to someone. Yeah, this is a crazy, crazy situation. Try to look at it for the first time, okay? Fresh eyes. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her, fresh eyes, and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Of course she was, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great." This must be so weird for this girl to hear. "And he will be called the Son of the Most High." What? "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." So he'll be the Son of the Most High. He will be deity. He will be God. "And he will be in the line and on the throne of his father David, a king. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." That's the end of verse 33. There's a very short conversation that goes on, and by verse 38, she's able to say this, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Incredible. And then the angel left her. That's amazing trust. It's amazing faith in Jesus, in God, the Father. Jesus wasn't quite there yet. He was, but we hadn't seen him like that. Don't get confused, Pete. Keep going. And it's a similar story. It's a similar story for Joseph. Now, Mary had had the encounter with Angel Gabriel and had the conversation. Okay? Then Mary has to tell this story to Joseph. Joseph hasn't had the encounter with an angel, and he just hears now that his fiancée is pregnant. But don't worry, it's God's baby. This is a very strange story if you look at it with fresh eyes. And then he did meet Gabriel in a dream. But I wonder if there are times when he thought, I wonder if I did see Gabriel in a dream. Some of us have had dreams before. Maybe we just had a dream because we wanted one, and Mary was talking to us about an angel, and now I think I've just sort of been in the night, I've had a dream. You know, this is a crazy situation, but Mary and Joseph both put their trust in God. They put their trust despite the circumstances. Let me say this again, just in case you're in some difficult circumstances. Mary and Joseph put their trust in God despite the circumstances. And perhaps the gift that you can bring and I can bring to Jesus this Christmas is to trust him despite what our eyes may see. Not denying reality, but trusting him and putting our faith in him in the middle of our reality. Perhaps we can learn that. We can learn worship and adoration from the shepherds and the magi. We can learn trust from Mary and Joseph. And then the third one, vertically. Perhaps this year we can give to Jesus our hearts. Back to the song again. In the bleak midwinter. It's interesting this, I think, because what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. But because he's not a shepherd, he doesn't have a lamb, he has to give his heart. Well, that's quite handy. Because if he did have a lamb to bring, that would be the wrong gift. Because God isn't after a lamb. He wants your heart this Christmas. And I think that line in the carol speaks to me about someone thinking about what they'd bring if they had more. But they're so poor and they've got nothing, so all they can bring is their heart. But that's exactly what God wants from you this year. He doesn't want your title. He doesn't want your qualifications. He doesn't want your expertise. He doesn't want your riches. They're all good in their place. They've got a part to play. But this Christmas, he wants your heart. And I want to ask you a question today. Does he have it? Does he have it? Has he ever had your heart? Even if you've been coming here for 10 years. Has Jesus ever had your heart? Perhaps this is the Christmas to invite Jesus into your story. Perhaps he once had your heart, but your heart's gone cold and you feel distant from him. Perhaps this is the year to give him your heart again. Perhaps we can give our worship and adoration to Jesus this year. Perhaps we can bring to him our trust. Perhaps we can bring to him our hearts. Two to go. Over to the horizontal. What can we give this Christmas? There was a lady on Radio 4 last Tuesday, because really, socks, slippers, Radio 4. Zut alors. it's good being married to somebody who used to teach French, because Nikki said, no one in France says zut alors. Why have everybody learned that phrase? I like that phrase. I've made my own one up, which Nikki hates even more, which is que le jeune pourquoi, which means what a the young why. But I think it sounds good. So anyway, there was a lady on Radio 4 on Tuesday, and they were talking, I think it was on Woman's Hour or something, and the family weren't going to give gifts this year, okay? So she's a grandma, and the children are all grown up. They have no need to give each other gifts. What they decided this year is that they were going to give each other time. Because they found out that it was the thing of greatest value that they needed to give each other this Christmas. And they decided that what they'd do is have a box by the door when everyone arrives. They have to put all mobile devices in the box. And no one can have them back for 2 days. Good, huh? And what they thought they might do is even have conversations like, how's your year been? What are you into now? Find out if anyone's got any new hobbies, any new interests. I mean, it's so easy to just meet up with family, eat a bit together, watch TV together and know nothing about each other and what's going on. So they thought they were going to bring time to each other this year. Maybe that's something we can give. Here's another one. Perhaps to each other this year we can bring peace. Now, Stu reminded us, as did Paul and Becky a couple of weeks ago, that he is our Prince of Peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. But the week before Paul and Becky came, can you remember I reminded you that you're all a load of donkeys? We are the donkeys who carry Jesus into the world. So just as I spoke about us taking light into the darkness, because we are the light of the world and he is the light of the world, we have received and can continue to receive, or maybe for the first time today, we can receive his peace. But we also need to bring his peace to the world around us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." One of the translations of the word peace in the New Testament is, yes, absence of war and that kind of thing, but harmony between individuals. Maybe the gift that we can try to bring this year, and it's a tough time of year to do it, is harmony between individuals. Romans 12 said, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. 1 Peter 3:11, we must turn from evil and do good. We must seek peace and pursue it. I love the word pursue in Psalm 23. Surely his goodness and mercy, they're pursuing me. They're chasing after me. I'm like, yes, I love that. I love the fact that his goodness and mercy are chasing after me. What I need to be pursuing peace in the same way and trying to bring peace into situations, into relationships. So here's a massive challenge. Why don't we try this year to bring the gift of peace and harmony into our families? Oh, Zuta Laura again. Just hydrating the carpet nicely. What? Good. It's tough though, isn't it? You know, there's this, in John 6, it says that some of the disciples said, this teaching is too difficult. Many left. It's too difficult to bring peace to my family, Pete. You don't know my family. They know how to rub me up the wrong way. They know how to press every one of my buttons, and I can go in there with good intentions, but it's going to be so frustrating. Of course they know how to rub you up, and you know how to rub them up the wrong way too. And this is interesting. I was thinking about this. Of all the conversations I've ever had with people about their families at Christmas, I've never heard somebody say that they are the one who's the problem. It's always the other people in the family. No one ever says, I'm going into my family and I always cause a problem. Wherever I go, there's always arguments and I always cause tension. It's like, no, they do it. I'm perfectly normal, but everybody else is quite annoying. And I think the thing is that in our family dynamics this Christmas, we need to actually take acknowledgement of the fact that we may be causing some of the grief too. But in that situation, we need to be peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. We need to seek peace and pursue it. And I found this great quote. The goal of the peacekeeper, a peacekeeper, is to keep conflicted parties at arm's length from one another to prevent them from striking each other. Okay, peacekeeper. The goal of the peacemaker is to bring the parties together so they can strike a deal instead of striking each other. Okay, so the challenge is that we're not called to be peacekeepers today. Like a boxing referee trying to hold everybody apart this Christmas until they can all fight again, we're not there. We're called to be peacemakers. Let's not just send people to different rooms to cool off or go for a walk in the garden because it's all too annoying. It may work in the short term, but there's more to our role this year. Let's give the gift of peace everywhere we go this year. I said it would be costly, like the gifts that the Magi brought, but I think it's going to be worth it. And finally, mercy. Has anyone ever played the game Slapsies? Yeah? What a cool game. I mean, I wanted to get somebody up here and play. But I thought, yeah, should I really be showing the children this game if they haven't seen this archaic thing? But you'll remember the game if you've played it. Yeah, this one. Yeah? Put your fingertips together, wallop, and try and hit each other's hands. Great game. And the person you're hitting has to try and dodge. And we used to have this rule that you could, like, fake. You obviously did a bit of faking. And if somebody flinched off a fake, three of those in a row, and you got a free hit. Yeah? Nice. So you'd play against some people at school, and you'd put your free hit hand out like this, and they would be down here, just getting limbered up, warmed up for the biggest slap you've ever had on your hand, and you're standing there going, ah! And then run in and bang! And wallop your hand. It really hurt. And there were times when you'd be playing the game, and you'd see the person's hand looked a bit sore from playing, and you'd have your free slap, and you'd just go, and then carry on playing, because you showed them a bit of mercy. Now, there are different definitions of mercy. That's not the biblical one. Slapsies is not in the Bible. But hopefully you'll remember slapsies and think, why did he mention that? Ah, you can be merciful this Christmas. Actively compassionate. What does mercy mean? Loads of, if you look over the internet, loads and loads of people defining biblical mercy call it this: not giving others what they deserve. Not giving others what they deserve. We're not given what we deserve from God. He is merciful to us. Instead, he gives us the grace that we don't deserve. Okay, so mercy is not giving something that people do deserve, and pouring love and grace on top is giving them what they don't deserve in that situation. Maybe we can do a combination of those things this year. Maybe we might think about situations and think, well, no, in this situation, they kind of deserve this. This is fair. This is right. This is just that this happens. Then we can extend mercy and say, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm going to give you grace and love, because that's what has been given to me this Christmas by Jesus. He has given me mercy, and he's shown me mercy, and he has given me grace and love. Blessed are the merciful, it says in the Beatitudes, for they will be shown mercy. That's cute. I just kicked another one. Micah 6:8 says this: I'm coming into land, children, you are doing brilliantly. And kids, you're doing great too. He has told you, O man, what is good. What does the Lord require of you except to be just, to love mercy? And the translation here that gives us a bit more addition in the Amplified says this: to love and diligently practice kindness and compassion, and to walk humbly with our God. Maybe this year, to all the people we meet this Christmas, the homeless guy on the street, the elderly neighbour, to family and friends, we can show that mercy and that kindness. We can love and diligently practice kindness wherever we go, not giving people what they deserve, but heaping on them the love and grace that has been given to us. So as I wrap up, this Christmas, let's remember that the greatest gift ever given to us is Jesus. Let's remember the kindness and generosity of the 4th century St. Nicholas, who changed his name and address to become Santa Claus. Let's bring Jesus our worship and adoration, learning from the shepherds and the wise men. Let's bring Jesus our trust, learning from Mary and Joseph. Let's bring peace and mercy wherever we go this Christmas. And most importantly, let's give Jesus our hearts this Christmas. Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you. Lord, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the incredible gift that you gave to us. And Lord, receive our adoration. Receive our worship and our trust. Receive our hearts this year. And Lord, help us to be people who bring peace, mercy, grace into the situations that we find ourselves in this year. Lord, renew our mindsets, renew our understanding of who we can be and how we can bring salt and light into every situation we find ourselves in. Amen.